The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Thinking Stock. We're back. 2024, 12 o'clock. All right, John, how's things? Were you on the nice list?
Yeah. I am. Happy New Year, by the way.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everyone. Phil's in there. He wins the award for first comment of the day. Happy New Year, first comment of the year as well. Oh, hang on, I've got to meet something. I forgot how to do stuff here. Hang on, I've got to mute something because
you're mute
yourself coming back at me. Oh, there we are. Okay. Sorry, here we are. So join in, please. Hit that subscribe button. We didn't make 5,000, but we will this year. And if we don't make it this year, we're off.
We will this year. We will.
Yeah. AI Investor, Happy New Year to everyone. Super Mono, Happy New Year to you all. Hope it's a prosperous for everyone. Happy New Year, chaps. That's Lemon Physical. Yes. Are you getting physical this year, Johnny? Have you made any New Year's resolutions?
I have, yeah. Well, I'm not drinking in January, so we'll try that and see how far I get. And yeah, I have to say, I'm not alone. There are a lot of people who are giving it a go this year.
Yeah. Well, I assume...
So it reflects in Diageo's share price.
Yeah, but I assume, like, you know, most bars, leisure groups, all that stuff, you know, they do double, triple the amount in December, pretty much. So
yeah.
January, you know, people worry about that, but I don't think it's too much of an impact. It's done so well in December, you know.
Exactly. It's never a good time for pub groups, January. But what I did hear, you know, anecdotally from heading out and about over Christmas was that a lot of the pub groups are saying they've had their best Christmas in years.
Yeah. Well, it's been disrupted, hasn't it? Last year, with train strikes. Year before was like COVID lockdowns. And so I suppose this is the first good run at it they've had for a long time.
Yeah, so they'll be looking at their comparisons from like pre-COVID 2019. And they're ahead of that now. So, yeah, it's been good. I suspect we'll get some good numbers from the leisure sector.
Yeah. Well, listen, the title of today's show is New Year, New Bull Market. And I want to show you something here. Look at this. This is the AMOL share on the chart, right? And look at that. It's above the bull bear line, regarded highly as the 200-day moving average. Now, it did try and do this before, but rolled over. It's not doing that now. But you can see it's holding a little bit here. And I look back at this, right, at the stats on this. The last two sort of big bear markets, you know, .com, the Great Financial Crash, whenever the AMOL share has gone above the 200-day moving average, listen to this. There was a 45% return from March 2003 to August 2004 before it touched the 200-day moving average. And then it went higher. Even it just touched it, you know, it was consolidated, went higher, and did about 95% gain. That's from March 2003 to March 2005. In 2 years, the actual index doubled pretty much. And even on the Great Financial Crash, it did a 32% return after it crossed that 200-day moving average before it touched it again. And then it went higher again after that, it consolidated. They went up to 91% by 2011. So I think we are, could be at the start of a bull market here. Like I said, we all know it's, you know, the economy and the markets don't really move in sync. And I think we could see the start. I mean, obviously, not straight up. You'll have some data coming out. In fact, manufacturing data, if you look at this quickly, if you look at the manufacturing data today for December, it's not very good. It was below estimates. 46.4 was the estimate. 46.2 it did. But again, that's not bad for, you know, inflation. Inflation will come down. And so the central banks are, okay, you know, the economy is slowing down, feeling the pinch. And so they may sort of, I mean, what are they saying? I mean, some people are saying now Q1 even, they're saying that some interest rates may come off.
Q1 would seem a little bit premature, but you know, there's definitely talk that we might see rate cuts in the US in the first half of the year. UK, you'd expect the same. Lots of talk is that there'll be a recession, but it's going to be mild.
Both
in the US and the UK. So sort of the soft landing scenario seems to be playing out. And as you say, inflation retreats, therefore rates, you know, ultimately follow that down. And you know, that is only good news for the markets, really.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I've said this before, but the reason why it's going to be good this... Oh, hang on, I've lost myself. The reason why it's going to be good is that if you think about it, there's a lot of people... Investors who've left the market because they've been losing money on AIM for like 2 years. And they think, well, hang on, why should I lose like 30-40% investing in stocks where I can get a safe 5% in a savings fund or, you know, government bonds, whatever. Now, when that starts to flip, Yeah. You'll see the markets rally. So all of a sudden, you'll see fear of missing out. Because these people now, who, you know, interest rates will come down, so they get less return than that. So let's say it goes down to 3%. They get 3% return on their savings. And yeah. You see the stock market rallying by, or stocks rallying by 20, 30%. You have a flip. So money will come out of all those safe sort of plays and back into the market. And that'll power the market higher. So I think 2004 will be a blow. Yeah. I've said it for a while. I think it will roll over a little bit. It'll be a little bit volatile at the start. But I think towards the back end, I think it'll be a blowout year for 2024.
I mean, last year you could easily pick up, you know, 6% interest on a bank account.
Yeah.
And, a fairly well-known bank, Ulster Bank, were doing it. You know, unless you've got your 85 grand protection on that. Today, I've got an interesting offer from NatWest, and they're offering 6% on the first 5,000. And 1.75 after that. So yeah, you're right. You know, those products, those high interest accounts will disappear, and that will encourage people to put their money back into high yielding assets. And equities obviously fit that bill. Bonds, high yielding bonds fit the bill.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's a last chance to grab those, you know, high interest, safe, secure sort of investments there. But like you said, if you see, you know, investments you've held before and they've gone down, they jumped by 20-30% in the first quarter. You think, oh my word, here we go.
I still don't think this is going to be a uniform rally, certainly not on AIM. You know, yeah. I think there's still a lot of trash, for want of a better word, to sort of be
to
come out of the system. And you know, some of the good companies have already started to recover, but I still think there's pockets of value left on eight.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, look at that. But here's the look at the markets today. In fact, the FTSE is down. In fact, the best performer today, only by a smidge, there is the AIM All Share, up 0.12% to 764. FTSE went down 0.3. FTSE back down, I mean, almost half of 1%, 250. Biggest rise is Marks and Sparks.
I guess that's on the back of Christmas trading news. Audi Lidl was pretty good.
Yeah, Lidl and Aldi said they did very well. That's what we were just saying before we came on here. I said, you know, I go to my mother-in-law's over Christmas. And it's a double whammy because my mother-in-law buys like this, you know, you can times 10 of us. It's only our family and them. There's like six of us. She buys for like 18 or, you know, 30 people. So it's rude not to get through the food, try and get through the food. And then my father-in-law's got his own bar at the end of the garden. So it's like, it's like non-stop. I almost thought I've had too much time off. And that's too much for half a stone. But you can see, and you said the same, you know, I don't know who it was, but you said your parents buy a lot of, or your mother and mother-in-law buy a lot of food. And you can see why supermarkets, everyone does so well over Christmas, because everyone just overbuys massively.
They did go to Lidl. We actually went to Lidl as well for, you know, our home shop. Those discounters are hard to knock. That said, I did go to Marks and Spencer. And what I've never seen before is a queue for Colin Christmas Caterpillar Cakes.
We had one of those.
You had to all pre-order them.
I don't know why. I don't know. It's almost like a thing. I don't know why you buy them. My kids are like not the age where they like that kind of stuff. My wife, the good thing is, right, they never get through all their food. So we bring most of it home to us. It lasts for weeks. But we've got, I think, about a quarter of a Colin the Caterpillar left. I think his tail's probably left in the cupboard there. But
there you go. It's doing something right, though.
Look at Marx's chart, though.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's going twice the speed of Colin the Caterpillar. That's going very well.
Do you know what I'd say? These shares are not really too expensive either. It's 12.7 times forecast earnings. I mean, it's a great recovery story.
Yeah, they are the most followed on Fox. They were the most followed. Oh, they're down to the number four now. But this morning, they were the most followed on Fox. Mark, so it's actually some big stocks getting in there. I do think, like you say, the cost of capital is going to come down very quickly. So I do still think there's always room for a hope by potential stock in your portfolio, pre-revenue stock that has lots of potential. But I think generally you're better still. We know at the bull market of the end of 2021. I think you're better still getting companies the good value, generating cash still. You know, they're profitable and don't have to go back to the market, because if you have to go back to the market, it's still hard work. You know. By the way, I want a quick look at this 2024 for two reasons. Screen that you put up there, because just a reminder. What was this for now, John? It was like profitable.
It's growth and value, wasn't it? You're looking for
growth and value.
Growth and value.
And I did say I've owned two companies on this. I'm going to mention which one of the ones I hold. I really liked it a while back. I think it's still going to do well, and that's Time Finance. I bought this about a month back. And I just looked at the figures. It was outperforming. They released figures saying it's going to outperform again. Basically, they've stepped in and do what the banks used to do, and that's loan to small and medium-sized businesses. And they've had a change of, since COVID, they had a bit of a hard time. Change of CEO, the strategy is about now loaning off their own book. But they're quite conservative on that. And if there's anything that fits that, goes outside that risk paradigm, they loan that out to somebody else. So book it out to somebody else.
Small businesses are the lifeblood of the UK economy, really.
Yeah.
There are so many small businesses, and they have been over the years starved of capital. And there's some very, very good companies out there. So yeah, I'm kicking myself for not buying this. We've talked about it so many times.
Well, look at this. I went to put it through my spreadsheet, right? And it scored top marks. Mm. And I'll show you. So this is 12 months. This is 6 months. And if you look at their growth, it's fine, 17, 12 for interim. But look at the operating profit growth, that 58%. In fact, the last full year operating profit growth. And so if you go down to the metrics, you think, okay, the operating profit could grow, but what's the valuation on that? Look at that, PE of 10, price to book. They are below net asset value. You know, the net asset per share is 67 pence. They are 36 pence. And I think they've got growth, they've got value. Now, if you combine those two, you're onto something good. Now, and also you need to get the timing right as well, but the chart is also looking very good. So, you know, lots of green there and the potential there. I just quite like it. I think I should have got in a long time ago. I liked it a long time. I thought, have they got scale then? I thought, do you know what? Then they may not zoom up, but they are doing steadily well. They're improving. They just announced, exceeding results as well.
I guess the big question for me, you know, having sort of missed that run up there, despite having us talked about it numerous times on this show, is, you know, how much further can it go? It's never too late. You know, if something's got huge growth potential. Gavin, go away and listen, have another look at it.
What the longer term
potential is.
Yeah, I think it's one of those steady growers. It's not going to be, you know, it means not highly liquid. So if you get a big buy, it may shoot up. But it's one of those ones I think they will keep improving now, because their strategy of loaning on their own book is doing very well. I say, and banks are stepping back from small and medium sized businesses. So they're stepping in doing that. So, so what else was on that? Mercy Asset Management, Arix Bioscience, Griffin Mining.
What's the other one you bought?
I'm not saying.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, don't give me a lead. Next week is me. Yeah.
Okay. Geez. Well, I own.
But do some research on time. But go on. What do you own?
Yeah. Angry Direct. I kept sort of half an eye on the markets over Christmas. Had a huge jump.
Did it? Oh, yeah. It's nice. See.
Yeah.
I'm turning. It's high highs, high lows. It's looking good. Yeah, very good. Coming down there.
I had a look at some of their social media over Christmas. You know, this is a big market. Fishing is huge. I think the market, you know, the stock market, I think they're missing this one. Barely a comment on a 10% jump on a share price over the holiday period. And, you know, in fact, there was no news. So I'm just trying to work out what everyone seems to be missing here.
Well, I looked at it on my, you know, weekly webinar on my investment club. I said, you know, well, this is cheap. I mean, I don't know how much it can grow, but, you know, angling is very popular. My kids are taking them angling and all that stuff. And it is the number one sort of, you know, it's the go-to. It's like the Pets at Home or B&Q or something like that. It's where you go, isn't it? If you're new to it, unless you get your local one there, but they, you know, it seems very good.
There was a comment when we spoke about it before from a listener, viewer, who said that you know, the real issue potentially is France, where it's a much more price competitive market. And France is a huge market for fishing and a huge, you know, market for expansion for Angling Direct. So that's, I guess, the issue. But, you know, they seem to be at the top of their game, this company.
Yeah, but it's one of those things, it's hobbies, isn't it? You know, like, once you get into it, you tend to stick with it for a few years. And so you've got that recurring revenue. People go and buy, you know, upgrading their kit or it's worn out, all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no limit to the amount you can spend.
Yeah. Let's have a look. Supermono, Happy New Year, Justin, John, Greg. How many short of 5,000 are you? I met these Chinese guys over Christmas who can probably sort it out. Yeah. No, we get a lot of emails like that. Do you want us to increase your... No, you can't do that. Because it's like, I don't know how people increase their
organic. Bonus.
But
organic.
We must be honest and transparent with it. Happy New Year. Keep up the good work. Michael, an increase, as Phil, an increase in pre-bookings for likes of lounges, Revolution Bars, XP Factory have the same. I like lounges, a different customer to Wetherspoons.
I like lounges. Yeah, I like that company. Went back to my old town. They've opened there.
Have they?
And yeah, yes. It's extraordinary. I used to live in a town called Malden in Essex. And, you know, it's always a nice smattering of restaurants on the high street. But now it's, you know, it's becoming a food destination. And lounges is right in the middle of it. I think it's a great concept. Great food, good price, really nice surroundings. Definitely one on my watch list.
Yeah, that's a good shot there. Is that performing? It really jumped up. What was that about?
Yeah, I know. I missed that. Again, bloody hell, we're talking about this. But I was thinking, right, you know, it's been pootling along the bottom. I like this company. I'm going to have it at some point. But, you know, I haven't missed much, really.
No, it is breaking above. Did it break above that previous high then? It's holding there. That's quite a good sign.
Yeah, I like it. You know, I mean, again, with any pub group, you know, you've got to look for the cost of expansion, how much debt it's taken on. But I do think it has a good formula. And there's a thing it's adding to its portfolio, which is these sort of roadside diners. I think there's a big gap in the market there. I hate motorway services. If they can do something different, I'm there.
Yeah. Okay. So there's some news out today on the front page of Vox here. HVivo. You hold those well, don't you, John? Do you hold those?
I do. Yeah. My best football. By a mile.
Yeah, it's nice to see a company come up with positive news first trading day of the year. What is it, 6.2 million, is it, off this biotech client?
Yeah, so it's quite appropriate as well. I'll see here. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've got a stinking cold. Yeah. This is a contract to provide the human challenge trials to a biotech that's working on the common cold, which obviously the human rhinovirus, which no one has ever been able to cure. So this is it's a nice little contract. Doesn't change the forecast. Certainly the brokers haven't upgraded on the back of it. It really just underpins the solidity of the order book that they already have. And this starts to get delivered towards the end of this year in their new facility, Big Canary Wharf facility.
Yeah.
The thing about that facility is, and this is where I think the forecast might start to change, is that it allows them to deliver these challenge trials a lot more efficiently.
Yeah. Well, I got a shot on that. It's nice. You see there, there's 200 moving out. It broke that. Don't buy something when old money breaks that, because sometimes it has to pull back. Mm. You want to break the next high. So you bought this pretty much, next high, we're at 14 pence, and then it's come back down. You say, well, you have the aggressive.
Well, I bought them twice. I've bought them twice. So I bought them at 15p. When was that? Beginning of last year. I bought them again in September at 20p. So that's what goes back to that, what we said about time. Finance, you know, you can keep buying. You're not necessarily buying too late.
Yeah, the reason why I didn't mention it last time is that I didn't have a huge position. I still don't have a huge position now, but I didn't have a small position. There's not a lot of liquidity there. And then I'll give you an example. They came out with a trading update that was ahead of... sometimes it's just a liquidity event for people, you know? Look at this. They came out with a trading update ahead of expectations. It dropped, so I bought some more down here. And it's back up then. HVivo, nice looking chart.
I can certainly see myself buying some more of that at some point. You know, looking at that chart, there'll probably be a little pullback. And when that happens, I'll add a few more.
What's nice now, though, is that there, you know, you can see previous support there, broke that. And they came back, you know, literally recently. But it's now above that previous high, which is also very good, very bullish. I tell you what's interesting today. Another one here is very interesting, Long Life. I got tripped out. I had some stop loss in here. I was up on it. But the trouble is, it's very, very liquid, this one. I couldn't even get it in my ISA on Barclays. So I had it on thing. I wish I just got tripped out. It's fine. I didn't lose any money. In fact, I made a little bit of money. But it was so annoying because it tripped me up. But this is the news. They said it would be in Q4. And so people started selling because it didn't land. But this news is this validation of their study, circulating tumor cells. It's very good. Paul's written a piece on this today. Mm. But it's a huge market. And like I said, I think it's their test, their lung LBs achieved 81% positive predictive value. And this is small nodules. This is versus 60%, 67% for CT and PET scans. Mm. So they use circulating tumor cells, they use AI as well to analyze that data. But it's a lot more effective and a lot more accurate than what's out there at the moment.
But it's non-invasive. It's non-invasive as well, which is massively important. You know, I mean, I agree with Paul here. I struggle personally to invest in pre-revenue companies.
You
know, I'm not comfortable taking on that risk. But that's not to say there isn't a massive opportunity in I think diagnostics is really, you know, as well as sort of providing the picks and shovels like hVIVO for supporting the industry finding new treatments, I actually think diagnostics is going to be where a lot of growth comes from, prevention almost rather than cure, as it were.
Certainly
getting there very early.
When I look at, like I said, there's always room for one or two, you know, it depends on your exposure, but not too much. But what I call hope-high potential stocks is the pre-revenue stocks, but they have to have massive market potential. And, you know, when you got cancer, of course, one of the biggest killers of all, like I say, if you look at anyone who dies above the age of 65, 70, they are diabetes, they're heart disease, cancer, dementia. And so cancer is one of the biggest killers out there. And of cancer, it's lung cancer that is the most, you know, the biggest killer. And so if you can find something that'll improve the rates there of you know, analysing that early stage, because that's the problem. When it gets to late stage, you can't do anything with it. All you can do is try and manage it. This is early stage where they can, you know, cure it if it's early enough, and that's a really key area.
Just think of the cost savings on healthcare systems that it would be had if you could you know, head these illnesses off at the pass. I think an interesting thing about long life is, you know, it seems like US insurers, US healthcare insurers have already started to recognise this.
Yeah, they've got $2,000 a test. Also, pre-revenue companies, loss-making companies, one of the first things you look at, two questions you should ask yourself: how much cash they got, how long will it last? And they say they've got cash runway until at least June 2024. So I would like to get back into these. I really would. I think it's an amazing company, and the tech is amazing. But it's just like, I can't get it in my eyes, sir. And literally, they open up an IG to the side. And it's very, I mean, the critics get better, I suppose. But I may do get back into them. I think I'm going to wait, though, until maybe that fundraising is done. And then they've got a longer, you know, thing. But I do like them a lot.
If this is going changing, as they say, this is, you know, what's the market cap today? 11.7 million. So you've got some. There's some upside here potentially.
I tell you what was very interesting upside news today. Well, the most read, and it dropped on the news, was Plexus. I know.
This is a funny one.
Because it seems like they've done some of this deal. Paul Scott was talking about massive amounts of money for this, the IP they had. But it seems
it's
like
not that massive, is it?
No. But it seems like to me that, who is it? SLB, what are they called? The big the SLB there.
Schlumberger.
And it seems like they've acquired their license for no royalties whatsoever. It's almost like a perpetual royalty-free license.
There is an investor that I've long followed on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I think what he says, I agree with this, because I was looking at things thinking, okay, so on the face of it, it looks like a good deal. You know, they've got out of one business so that they can focus on others where there's presumably greater potential, but the shares are down nearly 20%.
Yeah.
This guy, Ron Boyd, who I've, you know, let's say long followed on Twitter, he says, SLB gets a royalty-free perpetual license. Plexus gets to repay the director's loans and pursue some other stuff. What shareholders get is very much unclear to me. And that's kind of what I took out of the statement. What's the upside? Where's the value?
Exactly. What the market reaction is, it's down 19%. And you're thinking, they've given away a lot of their IP for free, for no royalty payments.
Keys to the kingdom, I think it's been described as.
I don't know much about the story. But I just read that, 5.2 million. And then the fact that, you know, normally when you got a 20 million market cap, you do a deal like that, 5.2 million, it should rise. But I thought, okay, people are expecting more here because it didn't rise. It seems like now they are, like I said, that to me, wouldn't you like to require, you know, perpetual royalty-free license? That's it. What can you charge them something, you know, even a dollar or something per use or whatever, you know, and that would be, because, you know, Schlumberger is massive. It's the biggest oil and gas services industry in the world, aren't they?
Yeah, massive, absolutely huge.
It's a pity that it didn't come off as people thought. So, who knows?
You can see might be wrong. And if someone can tell me why those share, you know, that reaction is wrong, is an overreaction, the 18% drop, then please feel free to comment. But yeah, I don't see. I understand why the shares are down.
John, get yourselves on the common cold trial. Here we are, John. I'm
joining up to flu camp.
I'm doing some really, you know, some deep research here. Is everyone going to flu camp this year, everyone? Whee! I sent my kids off to flu camp. You can get them out of the house for summer. Yeah, impressive chart, as Alan's saying, for HVivo announcing another big contract here. And Canary Wharf and Long Life AI. Yes, good. Perhaps having an entry nibble when you like something would serve us well. Stocks I've watched for ages. This is all part of, listen, I don't know, I've been writing the last 6 months. I've been writing a book, right, on investing. And part of it's the how. And that's portfolio management, because it's very little I learned about that when I was investing, but it's so important. It's as important as what you're investing in and when you're investing in. So I do, you know, what, when, how. And it's about that, about exposure, about not going too big. Because I say there's always pullbacks. And if you go smallish starting off and it goes wrong, then your mistake would be small, you know. But there's always time. If you pick the right company, it's got scale. There's always time to average up if it's going in the right direction. Because sometimes you come out, you have news, and it's wrong. Something's gone wrong with the company. And then if you put like a load of money into it, you're in trouble. You can't get yourself out. So, you know, getting the, you know, not only the right companies, you know, when to invest, but also how to invest in this portfolio management. And
It's quite scaling in, which is not an expression that I like. But actually having an entry nibble, give yourself a bit of skin in the game, and, you know, maybe pay attention a bit more. Is a good approach. I wish I'd have done it with a couple of companies this year.
Yeah. There we are. Well, you know, Phil said there, Plexus reminds me of why I don't invest in what I can't understand. I second what John said. He's very confused. Yeah. And also Phil said he's having an itch for Focusrite, but haven't bought.
Oh, I missed it. Again, there was a little balance after we spoke about that. Annoying.
I've set up a new site, right? I want to get out to A-level economic students, all that kind of. If any of you teach A-level economic students, please pass on my website, Champion Investor, because it's how I started to invest. My economics A-level teacher, just when back in the old days with the Financial Times, you had to go to the old library. And it's what got me into it, and I gamified a bit. But I bought that on my little website, the Fancy Stocks Shares one, and it did quite well. And I sold it there. But yeah, it's Focusrite. I think it's a good company, isn't it? It had a nice bounce. But I think a lot of stocks at the moment, they've had a nice little bounce, and they may be consolidating a little bit now for the next leg up. But look, this Focusrite, it's come down for a long way.
We spoke about it right there at that near the bottom. We did, in fact, speak about it at the bottom. So yeah. I think it's kind of about 30% since then.
Look at that. Yeah, so good. Where's my
press? I think there's a lot of scope for further movement here.
Yeah.
The founder, Phil Dudderidge.
I can't remember which one. So if you want to, but yeah, I mean, I said I did quite well on that on my Fancy Stocks Shares list, so I'm good with that.
I still like it. I think I was reading something the other day about sort of the nature of the music industry, the live music industry, and what's happening. There is a transition away from sort of smaller venues towards mega clubs, mega venues, huge festivals. In fact, I was looking at it for Christmas. There's a new club which is opening an old IKEA in Tottenham.
Wow!
And it has a 15,000 person capacity. So you know, this is the industry that Focusrite is in. It's moved into this, you know, big sound industry, and I think it's only going one way. That it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
I mean, the clubs are getting bigger. The sound systems will need to be absolutely vast, and that's exactly what this company does.
So looking at some rises here, DJI Innovate, was that did you come out of the Welsh company?
We did it. This is the election. They purchased Tesla Trio, didn't they? So
yeah, Tesla Trio's in there. Long Life Rising, Cerium, which I don't know much about, 51 million market cap, looks fit. They have developed and commercialization license SRA737. This is a clinical stage biotech company developing next generation kinase inhibitors for autoimmune disease and cancer. They announced the company's co-development partner has entered a development commercialization license agreement for them. So they get upfront payment of $500,000, and there's more to come. They say additional payments to the aggregate amount of $289 million may become payable. I assume that's clinical stage.
Nice,
satisfying those clinical stages. But anyway, it's good deal. SAR, let's look at the chart there. But 51 million. We had some Serum Holdings. Well, look at that. It's really hammered. But I mean, it's having a little pop today. It's hammered.
Totally pre revenue. We're not expecting any turnover until 2025, really. So I mean, of course, this might change that today, but it's just I find this too hard. Too hard, Bracket.
Yeah. Elix. I was thinking, Elix. What is Elix? Do I know Elix? Elix International.
No.
294 million market cap. Let's look at this. I'll show the screen here. Global warming consultancy challenging unusual consultancies. What? Wow. This is acquisition of Insignium. So you're saying, what is it? What are they?
Chance consultancy.
Okay. Is it about AI?
No, it's just like generic consultancy.
The chat McKinsey, there is...
A mini McKinsey.
Okay, Chris, any thoughts on Elix as being standard for companies looking to adopt AI?
Is it? I'll have a look at it. I didn't realise there were many listed consultants. Let's have a look at that.
Let us know about it. Because I don't know, if you've done research on it, of course, we don't know about it. So let's know.
Yeah, I'll have a look.
Anything else on the front page here? We're looking at, big fallers here. It's a Canadian issue of equity there, because that's what they do. It's a lot of, Texas is down 20% now. Masters, a lot of resource companies. In the fallers this year, which is odd, because China, I think, came up with, a little bit better. If you look at the news here, the manufacturing PMI was up to 50.8, predicted beat the 50.4. So maybe the bottom for China. Who knows? It would help, resource companies. But that's anything else here? Gene Drive. Oh, there's not a lot there. I did chat to Neil. He's bought now. Neil from you don't like this. Atlantic Lithium. I mean, this is some more shareholder buying right here on the front page. This is who are these? This is. CEO and the finance director, they both bought more. But listen, Neil has got now about 1 point, looking at about 27 pence a share, which is down at Emma. He got about probably 1.8 million quid's worth now of shares in this.
Mm.
So he is putting his money where his mouth is,
Got a lot of skin in the game, absolutely.
Yeah, 1.24, he's buying up. And he's it's one of the best projects he's been involved with, but also. He said, lithium, the price has come off a bit. He said, that's good for us. We're not producing until 2025.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the deficit is predicted to kick in. And he said, of course, and while this, the lithium price is coming down, it makes it unviable for many miners, not for us. He said, our all-in sustaining cost is around about $600. The price of lithium is about double that. So, even that, they're going to heck of a margin off it. And he said, because we are very efficient and low cost, going to be a low cost producer. It doesn't hurt us. He said, a bit cruel, but it doesn't hurt us if the price comes off a little bit in the next year or so until we start producing.
Yeah.
So, and he's predicting that, well, I suppose most people are, lithium prices will go up. Because, of course, they're massively leveraged to the price of lithium. When it does go up, and he's been buying shares here at the bottom there quite nicely. So you get double leverage. And I can't see lithium. It takes 10 to 15 years to bring a lithium mine online.
Yeah.
And I think they need about 50 odd mines to happen in the next 5 years. And it's not going to happen. So it's a simple play on the lithium. Where is it all? Where is the chart? There we are. See, it's just bumping along here, going nicely.
Yeah, the whole lithium sense has been a bit of a roller coaster. But the trouble is with it, when it's it is ultimately going to be leveraged to the lithium price one day. And so all investors can look at really is the sort of here and now and some kind of forecast. But it's just the nature of commodities. It's a tricky one.
Yeah. Quick look at some business stories there. We know that house prices fell in 2023, but they're saying that it's got Robert Gardner saying it may fall again in 2024. A little bit. I don't know if that's happened, though.
I'd heard, the forecast of sort of a minor fall in 2024.
Yeah, I think the house builders have rallied enough for now. I think they've all rallied strongly, way ahead of the curve. Look at sort of Taylor Wimpey. Look at them. They've all, considering we're in a bit of a, sluggish market downturn, and that's... They've rallied a lot, haven't they?
I think I said the other day, this sort of recognition that actually, although the sort of numbers in terms of completions and sales, were very bad, and the forecasts are also very bad. Their ability to sort of turn the brake on and off on the sort of cash flow profile with the land banking or land purchasing or not, as the case may be, I think people have woken up to the fact that it's just a deep value sector.
Yeah, I think they managed to go sideways for a while, though. I don't think they're going to rally a lot. What else is it? Did you see that interview with Elon Musk where he laughed when someone suggested, I think it was from Betty Liu, I think it was, from Bloomberg, who talked about BYD or Byron, the Chinese EV maker. And he started laughing at the state of their cars. It looks like now they're going to be the top producer in the world for electric cars. They're going to overtake Tesla.
So he was laughing at the state of their cars.
Yeah, it must have been about 5 years ago, I think, 6 years ago, and this Bloomberg anchor was saying, you know, BYD was doing very well, and he just started laughing. He said, "What? Yeah. You've seen the quality of the cars and all that?"
Well, I've heard similar complaints made about Teslas, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Look at this. They're doing it. They've already sold 526,000 in the last 3 months. They reckon Tesla will do 483,000. In the last 3 months. So that's it. Having said that, moving on electric, this is, in this country, we've missed the target for high, these quick, fast, big charges in service stations. They wanted one in every one motorway station, but apparently now there's only one in four in 10 high powered things.
Yeah. It's hardly any. It's, I think we've spoken about this one, but BP and Shell, which obviously own more filling stations than anyone else, virtually nothing. Yeah. It's an independent company. I can't remember its name that has the sort of biggest charging network in the UK.
Is it? It's not Podpoint, is it?
Podpoint. Yeah, it's Podpoint.
Podpoint's listed. It's one of those. Another one. It's three. Is
someone looking up? But Shell and BP. You know, it has to be the big boys that make this happen.
Yeah. Do you know what I like?
If you want the roadside.
I talk my own book up. Do you know what I like about this? All these every time you see any kind of data or stats or report on charging, right, you'll see it's done by ZapMap, right? And who owns ZapMap? Well, it's owned 49% by Good Energy. It's the data. They do payment points through ZapMap. And I quite like that. It's almost like you talk about picks and shovels. Everyone's focusing on the charges themselves. Who has the data on all those charges? It's ZapMap. It's the biggest now in the country. And so I quite like that. They have all the data coming through. Because data is very valuable, isn't it?
People
which chargers are working, where they're working, where the fast chargers are, all that stuff. ZapMap have that. That's Good Energy on that.
On a similar note, and it's one we've spoken about before, but it's worth having a look at the chart, YouGov. Yeah. Here's a British one. I mean, that's bounced back, as we knew it would.
Yeah.
Very, very, very strongly. This is the year for YouGov. I think half of humanity goes to the polls in 2024.
Oh, right, yeah.
Half of humanity. there's a lot of business coming their way this year.
Look at that chart. That's Good Energy. I went mad. I was really frustrated with it, just going down here and going, I thought I bought the right point here, and it came down, went down. And I think it's come back a bit, but it's still now holding. But I quite like the fact that they have the data behind all the EV chargers. That's them, pretty much. They own 49% of that business. But I quite like that, you know. Any other comments, catch up on? Let's have a look. Any thoughts on MHC? Sell COVID test kits in Boots. Seems to stock and cash, but shares done nothing. Mr. C, lithium. Aussie's mothballing production won't help when prices rise, as we'll be able to fill the gaps in 2020. Yeah, but if you mothball something, it still takes a while to bring it back on, doesn't it? I mean, it takes about 18 months, 2 years. You've got to start a mine back up. They're hugely complex things, they mine. Everything from environmental purposes, health and safety, all that stuff. Still happy to hold.
It's hugely expensive to operate as well. So, you know, it tells you about lithium demand today, lithium price today.
Yeah. In fact, someone said, Phil, the interesting article I read in IC for house prices. Many customers have been buying houses with very long mortgages, 30 years plus. I know, but that's nuts, isn't it? Because why would you do that? It's like, to me, I wouldn't buy you would get a short mortgage now, wouldn't you? Because interest rates coming down in the next couple of years.
Yeah, surely. I'd get a short mortgage for sure.
I know. Well, trust Tesla. Yeah. BMW's quality, the first car made in South Korea, was made out of all drums and looked like a joke. Okay. Berkshire Hathaway were early investor in BYD. Yeah, I mean, I saw one of the BYDs, one of their first investor meets, they had Charlie Munger, the investor meets there. So Berkshire Hathaway invested in BYD. MHC, what is MHC? Sorry.
Might have checked.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, we'll have a look at them later. We're running over time there. It's come down a lot, but it's rallied recently. Yeah. Cool. All right. Marvelous stuff. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. First of the year. still warming up. You know, we're still now digesting the alcohol and the food from Christmas and New Year. But it'll get better. Hit that like and subscribe button if you could. And don't forget, of course, download the Vox Markets app. It's free. voxmarkets.co.uk/app. John, are you back on Friday?
Absolutely.
Yeah, throw me a bit. It's Tuesday. The start of the week is Tuesday, so not far off. Yeah, we'll do our Friday stock screener. Marvel stuff. Cheers, John. Speak then. Cheers, buddy.
See you later.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.